Hey guys, I'm Sandy.
And I'm Christy.
And we're a little bit dead. We are two middle-aged women. We are a little bit dead inside, and we're new friends trying to get to know each other, and this is our journey to authentic friendship.
Yay!
Yay! So, Christy, yes. It's been a minute.
It has. I got a little bit sick again. I'm tired of this. I'm so tired of this.
Yeah, you have the sickness again.
I did, but this time it was something different. It was the flu.
Oh, yeah, that's awful.
And I was so generous, I shared it with my husband and one of our friends.
Good. That's always lovely.
I know.
Sharing is caring.
Jerry's still a little bit sick. And then my friend Toby, he's sick. And yeah, it makes me feel bad. But
yeah, I think we've successfully gotten rid of the buzzing.
I think so and hope so.
Yeah, so maybe this episode will not sound like we're at the bottom of a well.
That would be nice. Yeah.
So we, the other day, got our very first listener email.
That was just like so inspiring to get that. It really was.
So excited. We had one of our listeners reach out from the UK and ask us to do an episode about parenting and raising kids and, you know, like, is this appropriate or just a lot of questions.
Right.
I think he's really young.
And yeah, he said that they're both in their 20s and this is their first baby.
Yeah. So I think we should just dig into this email and answer some of his sweet guy's questions.
I think that's a great idea.
So they're expecting their first baby, and they would like to have two children total. And he asked the question, what are some ways to engage, bond, interact with his girlfriend's belly with their baby bump while she's pregnant?
Yes.
And I think that's so great.
It is.
My husband would always, like, talk to my belly. My mom liked to read my belly books.
And it's common, by the way.
Yeah, it's super common. When I was pregnant with my younger kids, the girls like to do raspberries on my belly.
Yeah.
And it would always, like, make the boys kick, you know?
So, when my girls were growing up, we didn't call those raspberries. They were hooper dupers.
Okay. I've not heard that. I've heard, is it Zerbert?
Zerbert. Raspberries. I mean, blown raspberries. Yeah. But we called them hooper dupers. Do not ask me where that came from. I have no idea. And it may have been one of the kids that named it, but they were hooper dupers.
That's hilarious.
And hopefully my grandchildren are also receiving hooper dupers.
Yes, I bet they are.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, my husband would, you know, tickle and play with my belly. It was his entertainment, especially when I was pregnant with the twins. Because I was so big, and then there was two of them in there. So every time they moved, you could just, like, that was a hand going across. Like, you could.
Yeah, you could really tell.
You could really tell.
Not a lot of room left in there.
No. And I'm, God, it was a lot. But, yeah, I think it's good to interact with your baby.
Oh, for sure. I've read articles and I've heard about people saying about playing music, classical music, things like that, that is supposed to help a baby self-soothe. Yes. One thing that I have heard and I did experience firsthand in my own parenting was that it's okay to make noises and stuff.
Oh, yes.
If your baby is used to the noises and things that go on in the womb, then whenever they're born, I mean, I know some people always have the quiet house, baby sleeping, quiet. That's just not realistic. And I think that actually can cause problems later if you keep it too quiet. But if they're used to the noise, if they're used to music and background noises and things like that, then once they're here, it's a common thing. Because, it's not abnormal.
Because babies can hear in the womb, like, really early on.
Yes.
Like, they can hear outside super early. I want to say it's, like, 15 weeks, 16 weeks, something like that. It's super early that they can hear outside the womb. And so, run the vacuum cleaner, run the dishwasher, like, do your normal stuff. And that way, you know, because I had friends that would like not vacuum because the baby was sleeping. Well, that was the only time I had to vacuum.
Right.
And so
it makes life a whole lot more enjoyable for you.
Yes.
If you're able to go about your daily tasks still, because
yes,
you're going to have a whole lot of other times that the baby's going to need your attention. So
yes,
when baby's sleeping, make your noise.
Yeah. Don't do anything different. Because
I mean, I think even during the pregnancy. Now, I will tell you this. With my youngest daughter, we had a sound system in the car that we didn't have with my first daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And that bass, when it vibrates your whole body and your belly feels like... that was probably extreme.
Oh, my goodness.
But, hey, they both love music.
They both love music. Yes. Yeah, all my kids love music. I've always listened to music when they were little, loud in my car, and like jam outs or whatever. All my kids love music.
I do believe, because they're going to recognize your voices when they're born.
For sure.
If you're reading to them and speaking to them and things like that. I think that it's never too early to start reading to your babies. Studies have shown that if you read to a child, and I'm talking about from birth, if you read to them from birth, even though, yes, they're not able to follow the story yet, they're probably going to fall asleep through a lot of it. But they have more of a thirst for knowledge.
Yes.
As they get older, and it helps them with their education and stuff. And that's something that we did not neglect, was reading.
Yeah, I read to my kids before they were born. My mom read to my kids before they were born. They never went to bed without a bedtime story.
Oh, absolutely. You know. That's my best memories, honestly.
Yeah.
When they were small, was the nighttime routine.
Yeah. Bath time. Read a book. Yeah. And then they got to where they could read themselves. And so they didn't want me to read them a story. They would read their own bedtime stories.
Yeah. I don't remember how that actually happened with my girls. That stopped. Because, I mean, even whenever they were still bigger, we would still sit down and read a book out loud sometimes. So.
Yeah. And here's another thing about interacting with a baby before it's born is I had a cousin that's a massage therapist, you know, Denny, and he loves it when we mentioned him on the podcast.
Oh, good. Hey,
Denny. He was a massage therapist. And so once a week I would go get a pregnancy massage when I was pregnant with my youngest son, because he did not live here. When I was pregnant with my other kids, but he moved here, and I would go get a pregnancy massage, and he would rub my belly and like give the baby a massage. And so, and the baby would like Scotty, he would react and like move around for it. And so when Denny met Scotty for the first time, when he was just a few days old, Denny gave him like the little massage that he was doing while he was still inside of my tummy. And Scotty was just like, reacting. Aww. It was the cutest thing. It was so cute. But yeah, he recognized that touch and like recognized that this is somebody I know and have met before.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's really important to interact. And
agreed.
Yep. So let's see what our next point was. Baby and child books. Anything really.
I have one that I would recommend. I do have one story I would recommend, because it has never failed to entertain either one of my grandchildren. This was not around when my kids were growing up, but the Wonky Donkey.
Oh, yeah.
You had to have heard of the Wonky Donkey.
Yes, I've heard the Irish guy. I think he's Irish or Scottish or something, and he's trying to read it with a straight face, and he cannot do it, and it's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I'm trying to remember what the toy is called. It's something that my grandson, Arthur, just got for Christmas. But it has little pieces you put on top of a box. It's just like a little cube. And the little pieces that you put on top, it stores information in it. And you can actually record somebody reading or singing or whatever.
Fun.
And when you place it on the box, then they can hear the stories or hear the whatever.
Okay.
And so my daughter, when I went to Washington to visit, she had me read stories, recorded them.
Cute.
So that Arthur would have them so he could go back and listen later. And aww. Sadie says, 11 o'clock at night, all of a sudden she says, "Mom, I hear you telling the wonky donkey story at 11 o'clock at night." As he gets out of bed, God, and decides, "I'm going to listen to Nana read me a book."
With my kids, I had all my childhood books, and I had tons and tons and tons and tons of books.
Yes.
I had all of the, like, Walt Disney princess books, and, like, I just had books everywhere, shelves and shelves. And so I had all of those books that I read to my kids, and they read and enjoyed. But my kids' favorite thing was, I had some old books, and I think they might have been my mom's, actually, but they were like compilations of old fairy tales.
Gotcha.
And my kids loved those, and so I had a big set of them, and so we would just pick a book, and like every night for however many stories was in the book, we would just read a story out of that book. But yeah, my kids really liked the fairy tales and Disney stuff, and they just like to
just
read.
Just anything.
Yeah. I don't think it matters what you could read your kid a dictionary and they would love it.
You know, even the chapter books, you know, that usually are for when they get older.
Yeah.
You know, we still read those to them when they were younger.
Yeah.
I say we. I did.
Yeah.
I did. My husband never really read to the kids, but I think that there are a lot of things that if we had it to do over again that he might have done differently because we were so young, you know. But, I'm going to agree with Sandy. It doesn't matter what it is that you read to them. Read the newspaper. Who cares? But, do they even make newspapers anymore? I don't know.
I think they do.
I don't know.
Well,
but
you
just
can read the
read
online
to
news.
Them.
Just read anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just read anything. It's all good. Okay, so the next question was, can you recommend or suggest any good baby toys or teddies that we could consider getting for her? Kids will play with anything.
My advice, whatever you buy for them, they're going to be more interested in the packaging that it came in.
Like, you know, when I was having kids, we didn't have a lot of money, and so my kids didn't really have a lot of, like, fancy store-bought stuff. I mean, they had toys, but it was, they didn't have a whole shit ton of toys, you know, but they played with what there was. They'll play with anything. They'll play with a toilet paper tube.
Yep.
I mean, just give them anything. They can entertain, they'll entertain themselves.
Okay, this is a true story. We spent the night with my daughter this year for Christmas, so we were there to see my granddaughter open her Christmas presents. And, I mean, she got the coolest toys. She got a new Furby. I mean, that is cool. The Furbies.
Oh, my God.
The Furbies are so much more interactive now. That thing said Nana within the first hour.
Absolutely.
And I was like,
not.
Oh, my God, it knows my name.
No, ma'am. That is.
But she gets all these cool toys for Christmas. And we're outside with her. And we had, my husband and I had got her a T-ball set. And they were trying to teach her how to play T-ball. Well, that interested her for maybe 10 minutes. Next thing we know, she had went into the carport, and she got the leaf blower.
Yeah.
All these new toys, and she just wanted to play with the leaf blower.
Yeah, kids are weird, man, but you don't have to have a lot of money to be a great parent.
One thing I would recommend for them as a baby, though, is just something that will be soothing for them.
Yes.
Like, both of them had loveys. I don't know what it would be called in the UK.
I don't
but
know.
The little lovey has a little attachment, like a pacifier can clip onto it, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the top part of it is a stuffed animal, and the bottom part's like a little blankie.
Yeah.
But even my grandson, he graduated from that to his pound puppy because he loves those ears. That's what he soothes with, you know. But anything that is soft, soft fabric that they can soothe themselves with.
Yeah, and they will. They'll rub their hands on their little blanket and go right back to sleep, and you don't even have to get out of bed about it.
Yep.
And when they get a little bit older and start teething, anything that's got a nubby texture to it where they can chew on it and help their little teeth come through.
The kind that go in the freezer?
I love the ones that go in the freezer. Mm-hmm. Those are great. My kids loved those.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a toy question. Okay, the next question is about TV shows.
Okay, can I tell you what I don't recommend?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Please watch first what you're going to have your child watch, because if it has too many bright colors and it's like fast paced, a lot of action going on that screen, good luck having your child go to sleep.
Yeah, they're going to get overstimulated from all that.
If I mean, they you get want overstimulated, they're not going to go to bed.
That's calming, soft music, nothing that's like loud and like.
I think one of the newer ones, and it's not new, but newer, that I think is just brilliant, is the Bluey show.
Love Bluey. Bluey, I like so to watch good. Bluey myself.
Yeah.
I've watched Bluey.
But the colors in the show are very calming. And I mean, they giggle and stuff. It's cute. It's something that even the adults can watch and enjoy.
So. I would just say, before you let your kid watch something, you need to watch it, because these days, especially, so many shows are political. Talking about sexual orientation to a 2-year-old is not appropriate.
No, nope, not at all.
Like, pay attention to what your child is consuming as far as TV shows, things like that. I know a lot of the shows when I was having kids back in the early 2000s, like, my kids loved The Backyardigans. Do you remember that show?
I vaguely remember the name, but I never saw that.
They had some really cute shows on, like, Disney Junior or whatever. But this is also in the days, like, before tablets and before really social media. And YouTube was around, but it wasn't really for kids. Like, so I didn't have to, like, vet too much what my kids were seeing, because it was on the TV in the living room. They weren't watching something like privately on a tablet. So,
right.
I mean, as far as any parenting advice I would give is watch TV. If your kids are going to watch TV, maybe watch a little TV with them. Like, watch a show and make sure that it aligns with your values. It aligns with, if you're a religious person, if it aligns with what your religious beliefs are. And just pay attention to what they are seeing, because, you know,
and they can't unsee it once.
Yeah, and once they've seen it, like, I know one show, like Caillou, is the most annoying TV show on the planet. That boy is the whiniest, most horrible kid, and so many parents complained about that show, because first of all, don't let your kids watch it. If you think it's annoying, don't let your kid watch it. But the kid on there was just awful. Just whined about everything. If I don't know if it's still a thing, but used to, you could Google, like, who's Caillou or something, and Google said the most fucking annoying person, cartoon character ever invented. I mean, it was like this whole cussy thing about how fucking annoying Caillou is. So just pay attention. Be aware of what they're watching. That's my advice.
Yeah. And honestly, I also would give the advice to decide ahead of time what your limit is for how long. Because there's a lot of things that you're going to miss out on if you put your child in front of a television and let that entertain your child. Basically, that TV becomes your child's babysitter at that point.
Yeah. Well, in my experience, kids will entertain themselves. Kids will play.
Well, I mean, I feel like they lose the ability to use their imagination if they're watching too much TV.
I agree. Like, kids given no technology, like, you and I grew up with no technology.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, we read books, we went outside, we played pretend, we rode our bikes. You know, we had to entertain ourselves, which I was an only child. You had a sister. So I really had to be imaginative and use my brain and make up something fun to do by myself.
I think it's healthier too, because if you don't have the electronics in front of the child at all times, they're going to, as you said, they're going to do something to entertain themselves. They're going to be more active. They're going to be more interested in education and things such. And
it's
It's just mind-numbing to just sit in front of a television. Yes,
exactly.
Says the person who binge-watched all of last week while I was sick.
Same. I'm bad about binge-watching stuff. But it is... Let me just say this. It is so easy, especially like on YouTube and things like that, for kids to come across things that are not age-appropriate. And it's not like you're sitting there with them. So, you know... Your kids can be watching things that are absolutely inappropriate. Just pay attention.
Yeah.
Because there are things on the internet that are not for children. There are things on the internet that are not for anybody.
Yeah. You're
right. So just be aware and monitor. If your kid has to have screen, like a tablet or whatever... I'm not necessarily against it. I just think that it should be, like, maybe preloaded with things that are appropriate.
I just thought of something. This is not addressed in the email at all, but I think that it's appropriate to say. This did not exist back when I was raising kids, but as you're talking about the internet, one of the things that... it just made me cringe. When my granddaughter was first born, my Facebook profile was not set to private. It was set to public.
Yeah.
And when I had posted a picture of her, now she was a newborn baby and she was preemie size when she was born. I had somebody comment, look at those luscious lips.
Absolutely not. No, ma'am.
I freaked out. I immediately blocked them. I deleted the comment. Yeah. I blocked them. And I set my Facebook profile to private at that point. And then the honest truth is, for the first 2 years of their lives, I really didn't post very many pictures of my grandchildren because that scared the holy mess out of me.
You know, I've talked about my daughter being pregnant right now, and she's pregnant. Everybody knows she's pregnant, but she has not posted on social media. I mean, she posted like about telling us that she was pregnant, but she's not posted any pictures of herself. Like, she just hasn't posted about it because it's private, she feels like. So I really don't think that she's going to share a lot of pictures of the baby publicly either.
Well, I'm just saying there is a lot of really disgusting people out there. So I would say to make sure to protect your child. Be cautious what kind of pictures you do post. You know, bath time pictures, make sure all this stuff is covered up. You know?
Like, I have... But, you know, back when we were having kids, digital photography was not a thing.
It was not.
And so we had to have pictures printed out. And so, like, I didn't even have a digital camera. Like, it was strictly, like, on film. And so, you know, just be careful what you're sharing on the internet. Yeah, always. Because some horrible, awful person will look at that and... And that is just, ugh.
Yeah.
It just
makes me sick.
It makes me sick. Don't put it out there for somebody, some weirdo, to see. Just make sure all the bits and bobs are covered. I think that's a British thing to say.
Bits and bobs.
Bits and bobs. okay, so this was like, this is a question about interaction for, brain, motor skills, sensory develop, like do babies like to be tickled and things like that. Babies like to laugh and babies like to, when you're silly. And like my husband, when the girls were born, we lived in a single wide trailer house. And you know how they all have that big long hallway down one side? We had this great big teddy bear that was like maybe... I don't know. It was 2 feet tall. It was this big teddy bear. And he would get that teddy bear and, like, chase them up and down that hallway with it. Like, crawling on his hands and knees with the teddy bear, just chasing them with it. They thought that was the funnest thing. They would crawl and laugh. And kids love to be entertained. Babies, like, from birth, they like to be, like, held and snuggled and, you know, rub their little head and
they're going to feel, they may not understand everything that they're feeling, but whatever emotions that you're having, they're going to pick up on that. So if you're anxious, if you are stressed out, listen, as a new parent, I think that it is more than okay to say, can you please take the baby right now? I need a minute.
Yeah.
Give me 5 minutes. Because if you're frustrated, that the baby's going to become on that, yeah. frustrated. They definitely pick up on the cues that we give them.
Yeah. And also, I would just say to, like, be careful of overstimulating your baby. Because when they're yitty-bitty, they don't process things the way we process things. And so something that we think is silly or funny might make them cry. So just, like, pay attention to those cues. Because your baby will give you cues. If they like something, they'll laugh. If they don't like it, they'll let you know. So just...
And every person is different.
Exactly. Like, my middle son was the most different of all my kids. But, yeah, he didn't like to be tickled. Ever. From the time he was born, he didn't like it. He did not like it. He would cry. My other kids loved it. Thought it was great.
Yeah.
Mikey didn't like to be tickled. He did not like it. Don't touch his feet. Don't touch his belly. He didn't like it. He let me know he didn't like it.
And I'm going to go back to stimulating their mind with literature.
Yeah.
There is never too young for literature. Read to them. Play with them. Get down on their level. And I'm going to tell you, that makes a huge difference in the relationship you build with a child than if you're just going through the motions, getting things done that you have to get done, or if you get down there and actually spend time with them.
My husband, when all the kids were little, when they were babies and, like, doing tummy time, my husband would always get on the floor and do tummy time with them. And he would just get down, like, on their level, lay on his tummy on the floor, too, and talk to them. He would tell them about his day. They were 3 or 4 months old, you know. They're not going to talk back, but that was his way of spending time, bonding. He would shake their little toys and, like, you know, just have fun with his kids.
And, you know, speaking of toys, toys have come a long way. Also, because I didn't know what a sensory toy was until my granddaughter. She's the one that had been nonverbal for so long.
Yeah.
You know, after going to so many doctors, you know, the behavioral, I don't want to say it was behavioral issues, but her behavior was just different.
Yeah.
And, you know, several times they had said that that they felt like it's a possibility that she may be on the spectrum a little bit and things like that. But one of the things they recommended was sensory play.
Yes.
And it's different. It is so different. But I'm watching both of the babies playing with sensory toys and just how smart they are. Look for sensory toys. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, that was not a thing when I was having kids either. Mm-hmm. So I think that would have helped with some of his, he had sensory, I don't want to say problems because it wasn't really a problem. He was just very
different.
Particular about the way his clothes felt on him, stuff like that. Like he was a particular child. He didn't, food texture, stuff like that. So I think some sensory play probably would have helped him with some of that.
For sure.
Okay, so let's go to the next thing. Can you recommend any good baby child bonding activities to do with her when we're bonding together or interacting with her, playing with her?
Okay, can I answer that really quick?
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
Anything.
That is the answer. It does not matter. Spend time with your child. Uh-oh. Get down on their level. Talk to them. Read to them. Play with them. It doesn't matter exactly what you do because every child is different anyway, and y'all are going to get to know each other.
Yeah. And this question had a little bit more to do with, like, bath time stuff. Bath toys, anything that makes a little squeaky noise or something. Like, you have to be careful with mold and mildew sometimes with some of those toys, so make sure you're cleaning them really good. But, you know,
they have these new toys that they suction cup to the side of the
bathtub. I've seen those.
And when you spray water in it, it makes the little wheels turn and things like that. Both of my grandbabies played with those.
Yeah, but kids love to, like, splat. Obviously, first and foremost, do not leave your child alone in the bathtub. even if they're sitting in something, babies can drown in a teeny tiny amount of water. So just don't leave them by themselves, obviously. But kids love to splash. They like to explore the world in their own pace.
There's also a submarine toy that it goes under the water, and then it has this little thing that you can hold, and whenever you push the button, it sprays water.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, it was fun.
That's fun.
It was especially fun whenever I was FaceTiming and my daughter had my grandson in the bathtub, and he started spraying her with the water. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, just, I think, don't have too high expectations of your baby when she's a baby. I'll tell you a fun bath time story about my daughter. It was around Christmas time. They were maybe, the girls were 5 months old, something like that. We were still bathing them in the little tub thing. You know what I'm talking about? The one that goes over the sink?
Yeah.
And my husband's favorite thing in the evenings was he would give them their bath. And so he had given Zoe her bath and played with her and whatever. And he would do it in the living room floor just because that was the routine, whatever. He loved it. I was not home. I was at my mother's. And so I was helping her decorate her Christmas tree, actually. And this memory is just burned into my brain. He calls down there in the panic and has said, "Zeta's had a seizure. You have to come home now." And I said, "Zeta's had a seizure, what?" He said, "You have to come home right now. I've already called an ambulance. Get your ass down here now." I was like, okay. So I get there, and she's fine. She's got blood on her face because he said blood came out of her eye. I don't know what to do. She's had a seizure. And so I'm like, "What did you do?" And he was like, "I didn't do anything. I was giving her a bath. I went to take her out of the bath. She screamed and blood came out of her eye." I was like, that does not sound like a seizure, but okay. So the ambulance comes, we get her in her car seat, she immediately goes to sleep, and I was like, we should wake her up. And so the ambulance guy's like, "Let's wake her up." And he wakes her up, and like, she's fine. So we get to the hospital, they do every test under the sun to make sure that she's okay. And the doctor comes in and says, "She had a temper tantrum, and she held her breath until a capillary burst in her eye."
Are you serious?
And that's where the blood came from. She didn't want to get out of the bathtub. She was having the time of her life and was not ready to get out.
Oh, my gosh. And so she was little still.
Yeah, she was 5 months, 5 or 6 months old. They were little. This was like around Christmas time. They were born in May. So whatever the timeline is on that. But yeah, she's little. But she would do that. She would hold her breath. And I started keeping a like a little spray bottle in the refrigerator. And I would spray her in the face every time she did it. Until I broke her from it. Because she would get mad and hold her breath. And I'd be like, "I'll be right back. Let me go get my little spray bottle." In the face. She quit doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's how you train a cat, too.
It is. Well, that's what the pediatrician recommended. This is in the early 2000s, guys. Tom, there might be something better to do for that now, but yeah, so. But
no, I think it's brilliant. It's simple, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, but
listen, that was, newer doesn't necessarily mean better. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, like, so, but my kids always loved bath time. Like, that was always bonding time with their dad too, because he was like, "I want to do bath time and I want to do bedtime." That was his thing. Like, I would come in and read the stories, but he wanted to tuck them in and like do all that stuff. He was very, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast or not, but my husband is much older than I am. My husband's 33 years older than me. So he was in his 50s when we were having kids, and I was 19, 20. So it's kind of a little bit different of a dynamic, but he was very active and very involved with raising them and all the different things. He was a great dad.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot to be a great dad. Because once that baby comes, you're going to have, like, a natural instinct will take over. Like, you just follow your instinct, follow what you're... That baby's going to come into this world with likes and dislikes.
Exactly.
And they will let you know.
Yep, because they're all going to be different.
Yep, so we learned that Zeta liked a little bit longer of a bath time than what she was given. Okay, so let's see. Okay, this is an interesting question. He was asking about what type of belly button their daughter might have. Because, let's see, he has an Audi and his wife has an Innie. Now, that has to do with when they cut the umbilical cord, how that heals. So, it's just...
Okay, I'm going to tell you a true story. This is so weird. I have an Innie belly button.
I have an Innie.
My husband doesn't have an Innie or an Audi. It's flat. It's smooth across. Flat. There's nothing.
Oh.
There's no indent. Okay. There's no pooching out.
That's different.
It's just flat. Did you remember that show called Kyle XY? He didn't have a belly button?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, I always teased him, said he was like Kyle XY. He didn't have a belly button. I mean, it's there, but it's not really there.
That's funny.
I don't think that we get a lot of say in whether it's an innie or an outie.
No, I think it's... I mean, part of it is probably genetics because, like, my mom and both of her brothers had outies. But my grandmother didn't, and neither did my granddad. So, like, I don't know. Maybe it was just the way.
Maybe in the same doctor that delivered them all?
Yeah, I think it's just a lot left to chance on the way the belly button does. But, I mean, obviously, like, I know they do it differently now than they did when I was having kids. Because it's just a whole different thing. So, I don't know. But just follow the instructions that the hospital gives you for care and cleaning and that kind of stuff. And just, it'll eventually fall off. But don't rush it. Like, let it do it on its own.
Do not try to take it off.
And it will. It takes a little while, but yeah, it's not gross, and I kept all my kids' umbilical cords and still have them to this day.
I'm so glad to know that because I have my kids' umbilical cords too. They're saved in their little baby box, and my girls both said, "Mom, that is disgusting."
Yeah, I have their little clamps and their little belly umbilical tubes. Yep. Okay, this is one. What kind of baby gear should they get? I mean, I would just say keep it simple. You need a car seat. You need a stroller if you intend to go out.
You need a stroller if you don't intend to go out because you're going to have to go out.
Yeah. I mean, my kids love to swing.
See, and you never know if your child's going to like the swing or not, though. That's the deal. It's like,
you know,
I would say one thing I highly recommend, and hopefully your baby does love this, because this did give some freedom with, like, my granddaughter. These didn't exist whenever I was raising kids, but I used one with my nephew when I used to take care of him. But the bouncers, the jumper bouncers.
Oh, yeah.
Those are fabulous. They're stationary. They don't go anywhere. The little chairs will spin around. There's toys all around them to entertain them. Those are great. Yeah. Those are absolutely great.
Yeah, I mean, my kids, most of my kids loved the swing, but I had one that was overstimulated by it and did not enjoy it. So, and I would say, too, there's so many places, like, you can get secondhand stuff. Like, be careful of buying secondhand stuff because if it's too old or, like, know what you're doing. Like, go to a really, like, good secondhand place. Or if you have friends that have recently had a kid, you can either, like, they might give it to you or sell it to you cheap or whatever. I do believe in buying stuff secondhand just because
they're not going to use it very long.
First of all, they're not going to use it very long, and second of all, they might not like it, and then you've spent a crap ton of money on something and then not use it at all. So
those swaddling wraps are really good too.
Yeah.
I know, like, when my daughter would go on airplane rides whenever he was a baby, she would have him in the swaddle so that she was able to still carry the backpack and all that, and he was secure and just right there on her, so he was comforted. And
I think my kids would still like to be swaddled. When they were, up until I quit tucking them in at night, but when they got too old to be tucked in at night, they wanted to be wrapped like a burrito.
Yeah.
I mean, some good swaddle blankets are an excellent thing to spend a little money on. But yeah, I mean, babies really just don't require that much. Like, if you can't afford a bunch of, like, expensive, like, for sure have a car seat, for sure have a stroller. But if you can't afford, like, all the little gadgets and this and that and the other thing, like, they don't have to have it. They don't have to have it. People had babies for centuries and did not have all that stuff.
That's right.
So I would say buy the essentials. I would say get a new car seat because you never know what a car seat's been through. But like strollers, you can find secondhand strollers.
And just always bear in mind that it's temporary because they will not stay that small for very long.
No, and they grow so fast when they're little because like, and the amount that they change between the time they're born and the time they're a year old is, and it's going to go by so fast. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, keep it simple.
It's more important the time you spend with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Than the things that you buy for them.
This is a question I do not really have any experience in. I think things are different in the UK. They want to know when they should be considering preschools, nursery, daycare.
Okay, that's going to depend on where you live. That's going to depend on the community you're in, the population, how many child cares are available. Because even in our small town here, I know that the wait list to have a child, and I think that they had to be 18 months old, I believe.
Some places will take younger babies.
But there's still a waiting list in a lot of places. Yeah. So
like, if you and your spouse both work, how much time do you have off before you have to go back to work? Like, if you're both going to have to go back to work at a certain number of weeks after the baby's born, I would go ahead and start looking for some
now.
Yeah. Because some daycares and childcare will take, like, 6-week, 8-week old babies. I would be real picky about.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was a stay-at-home mom. And I was lucky enough that there was a daycare here in town that had some kids that only went 4 days a week. And so there was one day a week that those kids didn't go. And so I called them and I was like, hey, do you have a spot open? I just want to bring them one day a week so I can just have a day to myself to go do things I need to do. And they were like, yeah, we've got this. How many kids do you have? And I was like, I've got 4. These are their ages. They said, yeah, we have another family. They've got 4 kids and they don't come on Wednesdays. So you can have that Wednesday. So I rearranged my entire life to have my kids be, I mean, they were older. They were, I think the boys were, they were, my youngest was over a year old. So it wasn't a big deal. But I rearranged my entire life to have everything, every appointment, everything happen on Wednesday. So that I could take them to daycare. They would be at daycare. They were safe.
I do have to say something that's not very popular, too.
Yeah.
It may make me not very popular saying this, but I believe it with my whole heart. You need to kind of sit down and figure out your finances together.
Yes.
Because if it's possible to not go back to work as quickly, I think that's the best option. And now, is it important to be able to financially make your family stable? Absolutely. But if you're talking a part-time job, do not get a babysitter for a part-time job because basically you are going to work just to pay a babysitter.
Yeah.
It is not, that job is not that important, not over your child's welfare, because things can happen when they're not in your care.
Exactly.
You may even think that you know the person that they may be staying with, and bad things can still happen.
Accidents happen. Just stuff happens. And, you know, if you have a full-time job that's making you a lot of money, okay, maybe go ahead and put them in daycare. But if you're working part-time, you're only working to pay for daycare. If your spouse is able to work, if the husband's able to work.
Or even the wife, for that matter.
I mean, if one person is able to work and one person can stay home, it's always cheaper in the long run and better for the kid.
That people can actually work from home.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know what the situation is there, but
I would definitely think about it. I'm not trying to say don't ever trust anybody with your child, but I'm just going to say, like, I would definitely weigh the importance of being absent during that time period. It's just sometimes you look back on it later. The age that I am now, I look back on when I did go back to work, and it was so unnecessary.
Yeah,
and
same.
There were some bad things that happened, and it was not necessary for my child to be put through that.
Yeah, I didn't go back to work until my kids were, like, in school. And my husband was like, you can only have a job that you can still take them to school, you can work while they're at school, and then when they get out of school, you have to be able to pick them up. And so I had a little part-time job that I killed myself at. And for what? I mean, I was just like, I just want to be out of this house. And it can be frustrating to be a stay-at-home mom. And it can be hard. I think it's important for partners to be super supportive of their wives and the moms, and to make sure that, like, they are spending time with their friends, they have a night to themselves, they have a day to themselves, like, whatever. My husband worked all the time, and, like, my mom worked, my dad worked. Like, I didn't have a huge amount of people around me to keep a kid. You know, my grandmother was older, my mother worked full-time, my dad worked full-time, and my husband worked all the time. There was a period of time that he worked out of town and was only home on the weekends. So, if you are able to give mom a break, give it to her. She will love you and appreciate you even more, because when my husband would come home after being gone all week, he'd be like, I'm going to get the kids dressed and take them to Hawkins and feed them dinner. I'm like, absolutely, I'm staying here. And he was like, you're not hungry? I was like, I will make myself a sandwich. Because moms, you know, we talk about babies getting overstimulated and this and that. Moms get overstimulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important as a partner and as a dad to, like, recognize when you might need to step in and be like, you know what? I'm going to give you a break. I think that's important. I think that's one of the most important things about being a parent, is recognizing when the other one is about to lose their shit.
Yeah. And you know what? The fact is, you're going to lose your shit sometimes.
You're absolutely going to lose
your
shit.
You're going to. It's not going to be perfect. And you know,
no.
Parenting, raising kids, it's messy. And the fact is, okay, let me, I don't know if I'm going off script here, because I know that there was part of the email where you were asking advice on books that you could read for parenting tips and things like that. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead to that. My advice to you, don't even do it.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you, like, I was born in the generation, like, I'm Generation X.
I'm Gen X.
Yeah. So, you know, being born in the generation where the Dr. Spock book had just come out, and they're telling parents don't spank your kids and all these things, and you know, that just raised a bunch of brats, is what it did.
Yeah.
But you know, everybody, like, Sandy hit the nail on the head when she said, "This has been from the beginning of time. People have been raising children. They didn't have all these extra things, and what's going on now." That wasn't even around back when I was raising kids is all this social media you have. Don't follow Instagram for parenting tips.
No.
Don't get on TikTok and decide that you're an awful parent because you're not doing all the things these other people are doing. I'm telling you, that is setting you up for failure, because those people can edit those parts of their lives. You don't see the true story. You are not going to ever be a perfect parent, but what you can be is the best parent that you can be. You're going to make mistakes, but give yourself grace.
Yep, and absolutely.
That, like Sandy's saying, giving your partner a break every now and then and stepping in and taking on those roles. I do see dads in a different role now than they were 20 years ago even. Dads are taking more responsibilities with babies now. Like both of my sons-in-law, I mean, there was no diaper change for dad when I was raising kids. Dads just did not change diapers. But now, like, I'm looking at this new generation of dads, and they're doing that. And in that aspect, I have to say that is fantastic, the way that they're jumping yes. in and helping and doing the feedings and doing the diaper changes and things like that. But, you know, as far as looking for advice from books and things like that, or from even us, you yeah. know what? Take our advice. Don't take our advice, because that's your child, and you just do the best for your child that you can, and that's how you're going to be the greatest parent you can be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, my husband, I was surprised at the role that he took on when we started having kids, because he's so much older, and the boomers are a whole different situation than we are, you know? Mm-hmm. And he took on a lot more than I really expected him to, just because my parents are boomers, and my dad was not, I mean, he was involved in my life, but not like...
They didn't do those things.
Yeah, though. He didn't. Really do like bath time,
mom stayed
bedtime.
Home and raised children yes. whenever I was growing up. Yep. And guess what? I tried to do that as much as I could, because I wanted to be the one that was there for my kids. I didn't yeah. want to miss out on the things that they accomplished. I didn't want to miss out on any of those things. But, you know, and there are times that I look back now and think, here's some areas that I made mistakes. You know, there were times that I was too quick-tempered. You know, all I can do now is look back and give grace to myself, because I did it by myself.
I will say this. You, as a parent, are going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. You will. It's going to happen. The only thing that you can do is go, oops, shouldn't have done that. Learn from it, grow from it, and move on.
Move on.
Do not dwell on little mistakes of this and that, because your kids are not going to remember it.
But I do promise you that if you're looking on the social media and watching other people's yeah, videos don't. And stuff, I'm going to promise you this. You're going to feel like a failure.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
Mm-mm. That is the stupidest thing that you can do, because these are not real life situations. No. They're just not.
Yeah. I think the most important parenting advice that I would give anybody is follow your instincts, pay attention to your wife or girlfriend, whatever, pregnant person, pay attention to them, what they like and dislike, what they're doing and not doing. Pay attention to your child. Just pay attention, because they're gonna let you know what they like, what they don't like. And just
enjoy it.
Enjoy it, but be prepared to just roll with the punches. Mm-hmm. Because you can read every book under the sun about parenting. Don't read any books. I mean, it's just not worth it. Because you can read all these books about all these different things and how to parent and this and that. And your kid's going to get here, and none of that's going to be relevant.
No, and like, so, I swear every 5 to 10 years, they change. Like, when my kids were born, they had to sleep on their bellies. And then it changed to, oh, you're a bad parent if you do that. They need to sleep on their sides.
Yeah,
and now they got to sleep on their backs. And because, by golly, so-and-so said it. So, you know, here's just the deal. Keep them alive. Pay attention to them. Spend time with them. Love them. If you love your child, even when yes. you make mistakes, y'all are going to make it through it.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. Just love your kid. I mean, even if they're weird, just love your kid.
Yep. If they're weird, rejoice in their weirdness.
Yeah. I mean, people these days make things too complicated. And I think the younger generation looks back at the way things have done in the past and just thinks it's absolutely archaic. And they're looking at all these people on YouTube or, you know, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, living these perfect little lives. And that's just a lie. You know, kids just don't require that much. They require attention. Just give them attention.
That's right.
So.
I think that my kids turned out fabulous. I'm so proud of them. I love them so much.
My kids are so great. And
did I fail? 100%. Absolutely. But I also succeeded too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's just part of it.
I screwed up daily with my kids. But now they're all great. And my middle son, I know I talk about him all the time. He was such a little asshole when he was a kid, but he's
just an ass. Like, there was nothing that just made him happy. I mean, he was awful.
Moody.
He was very moody. He was very particular. He wouldn't eat certain foods. And, you know, when I was growing up, eat what's put in front of you or go to bed. You're not getting anything different.
I never knew that there was such a thing as being picky, because that was never
an option. Oh, I was not allowed to be picky.
It wasn't an option.
I ate liver and onion as a child. Put liver and onion in front of me today and I will throw it in the trash.
I will not eat it.
I'll tell you one funny story before we wrap it up. When I was pregnant with the girls, my granny, God rest her soul, love her, best cook on the planet. She called me and said, I've made you dinner. I'm bringing it to you. As we lived in the trailer house. And she brought over this casserole dish, Corningware, blue corn flour Corningware. And it had rice in it. It had this brown gravy and some type of meat in it. And it was closed, so I didn't smell it. And it looked delicious. I thought, this is going to be like beef tips and rice or something good. So I go to heat it up before my husband gets home. It is liver and onions. God. It is liver and onions and stunk up my entire house. And then my husband comes home and says, what the fuck is that? And I said, Granny brought dinner. It's liver and onions. I can't eat this. And he was like, I'm not eating that shit either. And so we threw it away. We threw it outside in the... it was gone. And the next day, Granny called and she was like, did you enjoy your dinner? I was like, oh, yes, Granny. I loved it. That's the best liver and onions I've ever eaten in my life. Blech. Vomitous. Cannot. Cannot. But anyway, yeah.
Okay. So before we close this up, I have an idea. What is the one thing when you were growing up, and I'm not talking about when you were parenting, but one thing that happened when you were growing up that you can say, absolutely, do not do that. What is your answer to that? What's the one thing you can think of?
One thing that I would not do ever, as a parenting choice?
Yes. What I mean is like something that your parents did when you were growing up. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Something that my parents did that I would never do. Oh, gosh. I grew up in the 80s. It was a time to be alive. I mean, and I did let my kids do stuff. Like, I would ride my bike a mile down the road to the cemetery and back. And I let my kids trounce through the wood to their grandmother's house. So, I'll have to think about that one. We may have to come back to that.
Well, I had thought of something. That's the reason why I asked.
What is your answer?
So, growing up, and you go, my dad was born during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't waste food. You don't do that. And so, growing up, you had to finish every morsel of food on your plate. Ugh. You could not get up from the table. And the deal is you didn't get to fix your plate. They fixed it for you.
Oh, God,
so
yeah.
So, that was my life growing. And that's what made me think about that with the whole, you know, you had to eat what was put in front of you. But that causes childhood obesity.
Yes, it does. And I'll agree with you that I never made my kids eat every bite of food on their plate. Because sometimes when they're hungry, they're going to eat.
Yep, that's exactly right.
He was so particular about, he wouldn't eat hamburger meat. He wouldn't eat corn. He wouldn't eat this. He wouldn't eat that. And so, you know, I kept chicken nuggets on hand just so he would eat something. Which when I was growing up, my parents would never have made me something other than what was made for the meal.
Yeah.
And so.
Same. And I raised my kids that way. Whatever I cooked, that's what they ate. They ate what I cooked. But if they absolutely didn't, like, I remember Sadie picking out the hamburger meat whenever I would make a casserole that had noodles in it, whatever. She'd eat the noodles, but not the meat.
Yeah.
You know, my kid did the same thing. That was fine. If she wanted to throw the meat away, that was fine. Whatever.
I would always put the food in front of first. And say, at least try it. If you don't like it, I'll make you some chicken nuggies. But at least take one bite. Which, sometimes I regretted. Because sometimes he would just throw up. Because he didn't want it. And he would just throw up. So pick your, I will say this, pick your battles. If you know your kid's not going to eat hamburger meat, just don't do it.
I put it on the plate and she picked it out and that was fine. She liked hamburgers. She would eat spaghetti and it had meat and spaghetti, but by golly.
He has only recently started eating hamburger meat.
That's so weird.
He tried it again as an adult and decided, you know, it's not that bad. I would say, just don't worry about it too much.
That's the best advice.
Just don't worry about it too much. Don't stress out over stuff that does not matter. Your kid will be fine.
Number one thing, love on them. That's it. Yeah.
Love your kids. Support them. Whatever decisions, of course, try and, lead them in smart decisions and smart directions and whatever, but, kids are going to do weird shit. They're going to screw up. Just love them. Don't try and change. Don't have a preconceived notion of who your kid's going to be, because they're not going to be that, I promise you.
Good advice.
So, do you have anything else? Okay, cool. So, our email address is We're a Little Bit Dead. It's WERELILBITDEAD at Gmail. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us. We're working on it.
good answer.
I've been saying for how long now, I'm going to get Patreon set up this week. We're going to start doing a little bonus content. Maybe some videos. We'll do some stuff. It's being worked on. It's in the works. I just haven't gotten there yet. Me and Christy are busy.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, you got anything else? Okay.
Well, we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye.